Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're listening to Urban Buzz Magazine on urbanbuzzmag.com, and I have Ariel Fitzpatrick on the line with me, a young Christian woman doing amazing things, and she has a new solo project out. Ariel, let them know what's going on with you.
Yes, thank you for having me, first of all, and yeah, I have my first ever solo project called Something Special that I just released, and it just is a very special song to me, as the title really says. But yeah, it all started like literally in my room. All the vocals I recorded in my room, I wrote it in my room one day,
and usually wow.
It takes me longer to write a song, but like I finished it basically in one day, and it was just like I woke up that day and I was really in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Even though it was not the best time, it was like hardcore pandemic, everything locked down. It was
wow.
Like the coolest time, you know, but I just woke up in a really good mood because it was warm, and in Montreal it's cold most of the time, so it was a warm day. It was really sunny. I remember it was a very sunny day, and I just looked outside and I just like became in awe of God. I just saw the sun, I saw the clouds. I don't know, it was just like one of those moments when you're like, wow. He just felt really special to me, and it just made me, I started wow. writing to a track that I heard on YouTube. I was like, yeah, I was like, this sounds like what I'm feeling right now. So I started writing to it, and it became this song, and I just really wanted God to hear that I really do feel like he's something special. Because a lot of times when I write songs, it's really about like experiences and, you know, stories about different things. But this time, like this song is really just, it's just about him.
Wow. Wow. You know, I'm glad you started off with that and reverence and waking up and having that experience, because I always say there's nothing like having an encounter with God for yourself, that it's tangible enough for you to know, as my girl Dorinda Clark say, ain't nobody did that but God. Moments. Yeah. And, you know, you're young. What other experiences have you had where you said to yourself, I feel your presence, Lord?
Many times. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's crazy because a lot of times when we go through really, really, really hard times, that's like the time you feel him the most. And I remember when I was a young teen, that was probably the first time I really experienced God's presence for myself. And from that day, I would say that's when I was really like, I was always in church. My parents were pastors, grew up in church, all that stuff. Always believed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're believing because you kind of grew up in it. But from that experience, when I remember we had nothing at that time. Like, we were basically homeless. I was sleeping on the ground. And it was, like, we didn't have a lot of food. We didn't have a lot of money, nothing. And my dad would always just be like, and my mom,
mm-hmm.
they both would be like, you know, Ariel, you just got to keep believing God. You just
right.
got to keep believing God. And I remember I became angry at that time. And I was mm-hmm. just like, I've seen my parents my whole life. They only help people. They only show love to people. They've literally given their lives to the ministry, and I'm like, this is it.
Right.
I'm like, nah. And I remember I was like, nah, God, you can't be real, you can't. And it was like the weirdest feeling from the moment I said it, because I meant it when I said it. And I was so angry, and I said, yo, forget you, God. And then I don't know how to explain it. It was like the coldest, weirdest, most awful feeling I had in my chest.
Oh, okay.
That very instant, and then it didn't leave. For days upon days, that feeling wouldn't leave until one day I couldn't handle it anymore. And I broke down on the ground. And I think I was on an air mattress at the time because we got to upgrade from the floor to air mattress.
You're so good. That's okay. Look at God move. God was moving.
Yeah. And I literally just broke down. And I was like, God, I take it back. I was like, no, I know you too long. I'm like, this, no. I was like, I take it back. I believe in you. I'm sorry. And in that moment, like literally that weird void and that cold feeling that I had in my chest, it got filled up instantly with like warmth. It was like a weird, I can't really explain.
Right.
But when it happened, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, he's real. And from that day, I said, I will never denounce Christ ever again.
But you know, he ain't scared of you, right? You know, he was like, whatever. You're realizing a few moments. So where did your passion for music come from?
I've been passionate about music for as long as I can remember. And mm-hmm. I think it comes from church, just
okay.
growing up in it. My dad's a singer. He's a musician.
Oh, okay.
My mom is a worship leader. My dad always says, listen, for every one of his children, there's five of us. He's like, your mama was on the stage, on the pulpit, jumping and singing and leading in worship for every single one of you guys. So he's like, music is inside of you.
Right, right.
So just growing up in that, I really, and singing in the choir, Sunday school choir, et cetera. I just always loved music from young.
Mm. Something special, you're singing that to the Lord, and it stems from just that intangible joy that he gives us. But growing up in the church and having a spiritual background, I won't say religious, having a spiritual background, I heard a song that you did, Your Love. And I want to know, being a church girl and enjoying music the way you do, how did you find your groove? Because I enjoy Your Love in that video. I really do.
It was very, very different for me. Like, it was extremely different, the type of music and everything. But I love a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was given they gave me the music and they asked me to write to it. So I was like, okay. I believe I can write to anything.
Yes.
Initially, I wasn't even supposed to sing it, but I wrote to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even that is completely 110% inspired by God. It's about His love.
Mm-hmm.
All my experiences are directly related to Him.
Amen.
So I've never been in relationships and stuff like that. So if I'm going to talk about love, it's more coming from that perspective, or that of friends and family.
Right.
So, yeah, writing to it, it was kind of like the same process as usual. I listened to the song. It gave me a feeling. And then I was just like, okay, I'm going to talk about... The song was more just about, like, having been failed, you know, in terms of love by others. I could always find it in God. That's what, like...
See, that's why I like that song so much. I knew it was something. I knew it was something. It has a sound in it, you know. It has a funky beat and you're really killing it, but I have an ear for music, and I was like, that song right there. Amazing. So where did you get your writing skills from? I guess inspirationally through the Holy Spirit, and as you mentioned, your outward experiences with other relationships. But when did you know you could write?
I'd have to give that to my mom, because she's the one who noticed it in me. Like, even to this day, I'm not that great at expressing my feelings or expressing myself through words.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if I'm feeling something, or if I'm down, or, you know, even if I'm excited, sometimes it's hard for me to just talk. So I've always resorted to a pen and a paper to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said the first time she noticed it was when I was in elementary school. I was probably like 9 years old or eight. And I had this French teacher. And I have this rap for just never getting along with any of my French teachers. That just, I don't know why. And I remember I was so irritated with her. And all the other teachers would love me and everything. They're like, what is wrong with Ariel and French teachers? So one day, the teacher told me, she's like, okay, she's like, write down why you don't like this class. And apparently, I can't remember what I wrote, but apparently I wrote an amazing essay, completely structured with points. My dad got it. Like, the teacher gave it to my dad, and my dad gave it to my mom, and everyone was in shock.
Wow.
So we wrote it at, like, I think I was like 8 or 7, around there.
Whoa.
And from that day, anytime I was experiencing anything, my mom would always say, write it down. And I just got in the habit of just writing, and then it kind of evolved into writing songs.
Wow. So you like writing, you like singing. If there was an artist you could write for, who would that artist be?
Oh my goodness, I have no idea. That is a really good question. Wow, that's intimidating to even do.
No.
Anytime someone asks me a question concerning, like, what artist would you want to do with, I never know. I'm just like, wow.
It's okay, because you don't even have to. You could say, not at this time. I'm still developing my career.
Yeah. That's probably more my answer right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, no pressure. You know, I was just asking if there was a person. And it's okay. And this is why we say we're key players speak. You know, it's okay. You ain't got to big nobody else up. It's okay. I'm writing for me. And right now, that's that. You carry yourself well and you're big on social media. How do you deal with trolls?
I really don't. Like, I just don't deal with them.
Right,
I
right. Okay.
Leave them to
to themselves.
Yeah, I really don't have time or energy to waste on them because, like, there's so much positivity.
Right.
Like, it's like, I can't even, just imagine after answering or reading, like, 100 good comments and you just see one bad one. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. I kind of leave it. There's, like, very few, there were very, very few times when I did respond, because sometimes you would see, like, if someone is starting something in the comments where they're trying okay. to, like, misrepresent or just try to misinterpret what I was doing, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know what, I don't want anyone to actually believe in this. So then I would just, like, step in and be like, no, that's not what I meant, that's not what right. it is. Or yeah, it's more about the messaging. If they're trying to twist something and then people are starting to believe it, then mm-hmm. I'm like, hey. But if they're coming from me personally, if they don't like, most of them, they don't like what I wear, or they don't like how I'm not fitting their religious point of view.
Right.
I don't even answer, because I'm like, I'm not here to please you anyway.
Facts. You're so grounded and rooted. I really appreciate you. Now, I have another entertainment question, too. In the entertainment business, we've seen so many things, and people have been compromised in the music business, acting, and in all kinds of areas. We've even had some positive changes, like when Denzel Washington refused to take his clothes off for sex scenes, and, you know, when God starts knocking on your door and you, in the midst of his career, he's like, I won't be doing that anymore. How have you, starting in this industry and just tapping in, have you protected yourself, or do you have a standard where you won't compromise to be part of the it or the click or the reality TV dramas?
Yeah, the first thing for me is, like, if you ever tell me that I can't say Jesus or I can't be too God heavy, you already lost me. I don't care what the opportunity is. I really don't care.
Facts.
So I just recognize, I understand it's him who got me here, because
come on,
I haven't done anything to deserve, like, I really haven't done anything to deserve this.
Right.
So me being here is, like, it's, like, miraculous to me. Sometimes I look to heaven and I'm like, God, how come you even blessing me right now? Like, right. Why? So if I'm in any position where even a good opportunity would come and they're telling me to omit him, like, that makes no sense.
Right.
So it's a very easy industry. I don't know how people struggle with it, to be honest.
Right. Yeah, I don't neither. And I guess it goes back to when we initially started and understanding his presence, his power, his spirit, and just who he is in our lives, and going through things and realizing I made it, so to speak. Excellent. I love your answer too, because I've turned down $1 million deals, mm-hmm. and I've heard God clearly say, I'll give you double, you wow. know, just say no. And he has not failed me. I'm forever promoting Christ.
Yeah.
Forever. Okay. Back to the interview. But that was a solid answer you gave, that we're not compromising, okay?
No.
Oh my goodness. So what other creative gifts are inside you that you must unleash besides music?
I want to get into acting, and I don't know how, like, exactly how I'm going to do it, but listen, like, most of my successes have been for me just, like, kind of letting go and letting God. So I'm just, like, walking this path and see what, you know, what could happen
right.
there, and trying to, but at the same time trying to, like, actually exercise that skill. And, I think that's, like, yeah, that's something I really, really, really want to do right now.
Okay. So, we you know, we have Christian films, and there's some great Christian actresses and actors as well. But also, we can be in regular films mm-hmm. and just allow God to be God as well. And I like what you said, walking with God. And what does that mean to you? And what advice would you give to your age group in regards to walking with God?
For me, I think I've learned the most important part of walking with him is really, like, letting go of wanting to be in control. That was something that I had to learn. I feel like God really taught me that a hard way, because I've always since I was a child. I've always been a very planned person. I've been this is what I'm going to do by this age, and this is what I'm going to do by this time, and this is my plan. Like, I had everything planned out until I was like 30, and everything literally, by the time I hit 18, I started realizing, okay, my plans are, they're not working. They're not working at all. Like, nothing is going on like the way I wanted it to. I was supposed to be a doctor by now, you know, like finishing my last year or whatever. But yeah, I learned through all this craziness that has gone down since about, yeah, since I was about like 14 till now. Mm-hmm. I really had to let go of my own ambitions and really ask God, okay, what do you want from me? Like, not even what do you want from me, is more like, why did you create me? My mom had to like help me understand, like, you remember, you're made with a purpose. God didn't just create you and just let you out on the earth and be like, do what you want to do. It was very much like, no, I have a very precise plan that I have for you. Like, you know, obviously it's our choice at the end of the day what we do, but he wants me to do something. He gave me every gift for a reason. He gave me every opportunity for a reason. So I just had to learn to be like, okay, I let go. I really let go. Like, I looked at God the day I did it. I was just like, listen, God, I just quit school. I quit my job. And I'm home in my mom's basement.
Wow. But what made you do that?
Just knowing that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. For example, with school, I was really just doing it just to get a degree. I wasn't passionate. After high school, I was like forcing myself to do it.
Right.
Because, you know, it's just the right way to do it. You want to make your parents proud.
Right.
And then I remember the last day when I decided I was done with university was when I... Like, every single time I'd walk into my math class, because I was studying to be an actuary, and which is just not what I'm supposed to do. But I was doing my math, and every time I would go into class, I'd be fine. And then all of a sudden, like, a tear would start running on my eye, or I would start, like, getting mini, like, anxiety attacks. And I'm like, okay, no, this is not it.
Right.
And just after a lot of prayer and a lot of thinking, I was like, this is not me. I'm a creative person and I'm not in the right field. So I decided to trust God, prayed more than I ever did in my life. And from then, like, I think it took that for prayer to become a lifestyle.
All right.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to just praying for things. I don't pray for things anymore. I really don't. Now I'm really like, I just need everyday guidance so I can make sure I fulfill my purpose.
Girl. Woo-wee. Well, that is the best advice anyone could give. Pray for guidance.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
It's crazy. Like, the Bible wasn't joking. Like, when you read like Matthew 6, when it says like, don't worry about, that was the verse there that changed my life. That's passage. I should say.
I love it. Yeah, don't worry about tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what really, when I got that, because sometimes you read it and you don't get it. When he's like, no,
that's
like,
a you're fact.
Really not supposed to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just seek first the kingdom. That's when everything changed. So I stopped asking for money. I stopped asking God for money. I stopped asking him for clothes. I stopped asking him for it. And now, like, it just started coming. And I don't know how to explain it, but it really started coming.
Man, I'm so glad for your testimony because, you know, sometimes when we don't fellowship with people who are having those same experiences, it's like, am I the only one going through this, or is anybody else going through this? God only loves me, I tell you. You know, he's not loving nobody else. He's giving me all the love, you know, and that's not true for those who are listening. Jesus, you know, things get messed up. He will make you feel like you the only one in the world. And it was that feeling that changed my life. But in those dark moments, it is nothing like his presence. When he just comes and you see that little glimmer of light, and there's that hope that blesses, that hope that encourages you to keep going. And, you know, it's like you got that bounce back spirit because it's him, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing. So Something Special is the single. Are you working on a full album?
I'm not sure about a full album, but definitely more songs. Okay. I want to come out with more singles and just, I just want to write and I just want to release anything that comes in my spirit.
Come on now.
And, Yeah, just see what happens. Because I've been hiding it for a very, very long time. Because I've always been scared to release. Just I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's gonna sound like I want. I was even so apprehensive just I'm sharing this one. But at this point, oh my goodness, it's like I've been through enough to like be holding on to things anymore. Like I just want to let everything out and just see what happens.
Now, your generation, you know, you guys, technically, we, you know, you don't necessarily need a record deal, but do you have one or are you doing this independently?
No, I'm doing it independently. Yeah, okay. That's how I'm doing it right now.
Okay, so are you part of TuneCore, all of those digital platforms?
Is it DistroKid? That's what it's called. Is that like an equivalent to TuneCore or is that something else? I'm still learning.
What's the name you mentioned?
DistroKid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know, TuneCore, I think, and Bootcamp or something camp. There are a lot of digital platforms, iTunes, Apple, whatever. I don't know them all myself, but as I'm sure you continue to learn and push it, that everything will go well. And at least you get to keep your authenticity of your writing skills and what you want to put out.
Yeah, that's very important to me.
Now, you was part of a group with your sister. Does she help you with writing, or are you guys doing anything, a collaboration or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually have a song coming out really soon called Laying Down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been singing with my sister my whole life. So no matter, even if I'm doing things solo, like there's absolutely nothing like singing with my sister.
Oh,
so that will never end. But yeah, so we're just waiting. We're almost done getting ready to release that song. And hopefully if people like it and it can bless somebody.
Now, have you done any public engagements where you got a live audience response to your music or your singing?
My singing, yes, but never like my own music. Because my sister and I, we used to sing all the time around Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Church events or some like community events as well. Mm-hmm. When everything was open. So yeah, performing is probably one of like the, I think that's what I'm missing so much right now. Like it's like therapy.
Okay.
Going on stage and just singing and like, cause that's the one place I am not shy.
Oh, okay. Okay. How do you identify yourself as being shy? You don't sound shy. I tell you, you over here knocking these questions out. You like boom, boom, boom. So how are you shy?
Listen, I don't know what happens when I get behind the camera or on
stage.
Oh,
okay.
Those two places, I'm not shy.
Oh, okay.
I know, so. I'm behind the phone, I guess, in this case. Like, it's more socially. It's more like if I'm around people. Like if I have to go to a party, oh, Lord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, okay. But is there anything on your heart that you want to say to maybe someone else who's trying to start their writing project or come out with a song that maybe felt like you initially, like, I don't know if I can do it? Do you have any encouraging words for them?
Yeah, I would tell them, just please do it. Like, don't be afraid to share your gift. I think one of the best things I ever heard was someone say, like, if you don't share your gift, it's a tragedy. Like, it's not just, oh, that's, it's a tragedy, because it was given to you for a reason. God put that inside of you for a reason. And you would really never, ever, ever know what would happen if you never try. So I would always encourage people to do it. And if you feel afraid or if you feel like, I don't know, like you just can't do it anymore for whatever reason. Because I know I hit those spots a lot of times when I'm super creative. And then there's other times when I want to be creative, but I just feel so down and I just can't, you know, do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say hold on and just fight through it, because something beautiful will come out of you. So yeah, don't be afraid. Just go for it.
All right. So has Canada opened up a little more, or are you guys still kind of like, we don't know what we're doing?
Canada's kind of a mess right now. Like there's a lot of protests happening right now. The country's pretty angry with the leader. Like it's yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, thank God for social media. And, you know, keep plugging. Your videos are great. Are you part of that creative process as well? or you're just kind of like, I write and sing, you do this and you do that? Like the video for Your Love, that music video. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was not me who directed that at all. That was MTRSS.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in collaboration with them. So in that case, yeah, I wrote and I sang.
Okay. But are you interested in doing any of that? Like your own music videos?
I do look forward to coming up with my own concept for one of my own songs. Mm-hmm. I don't know which song it would be for. I'm just kind of waiting to just feel that,
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That feeling, that release, or whatever you would call it. I'm like, okay, yeah. I need to do it for this song.
And I love it. Again, that diversity that you bring is such a cool representation for Christian and Christian music. And we have a radio show as well as the magazine, WKPS Radio, where key players speak yet again. And we will definitely play your music. We play the most diverse gospel, period, online, period. And so it's artists like you. This is why I'm so honored, because it's artists like you who help increase our platform to represent the body in its whole totality. That, yes, we love the hymns, but when I'm at the gym, I don't want to hear Mahalia Jackson. I need a little something more. And I get so upset when people are saying, oh, it sounds so secular. I believe music is God's message. And however he's going to get it out through another vessel, through a Christian, whether it's reggae, jazz, whatever, why don't we just listen to the message first and stop judging the beat and the music? So thank you, Arielle, for being that vessel that's allowing God to really use you. You have a beautiful voice. Again, like I said, when I looked and I listened, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a key player. Let me get her on. Yeah, no, get her in rotation on the radio show. Yes, let's all make this happen, because we need you. And I love what you said to the listeners. Go for it. Don't let anyone put you in the box. Thank you, Arielle, for being a part of the Key Player family and coming on Urban Buzz Mag. And we are right here for you. Again, like we say, once a key player, always a key player. So whenever, as you continue to grow in your career, we would love to continue to be one of your media partners.
Oh, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot.
You are more than welcome.